Wait a minute, this love started off so tender, so sweet. But now she got me
smoking out the window.
Must have spent 35, 45,000 up in Tiffany's.
Oh no!
Got a bad kid running around my whole crib like it's Chuck E. Cheese. Was gripping on me tight, screaming
Hercules.
Got me in the club looking for a new love. Somewhere help me
please.
Baby, why you doing this? Why you doing this to me?
Girl,
not to be dramatic, but I wanna die. This got me paying a rent, paying for trips, diamonds on her neck, diamonds on her wrist. I'm so cold.
I want to say good morning to Tanisha Gardner. Tanisha, good morning.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. I want to say good morning to Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, good morning.
It is a good morning today. It's good outside. It's looking good. Good morning.
All right. I love the energy, right? We want to bring in our first student host just to say good morning. Walter, congratulations. Graduation. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. the real deal, Justin Hill. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
Okay. And, of course, Mr. Harris, good morning. All right. Mr. Harris is with us online.
All right, yeah.
But not in... There he is.
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Mr. Harris.
That's right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Everybody, enjoy it.
Absolutely. We're about to enjoy as we take this ride with Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. You see, music is like poetry, and it has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, we're asking you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. Quest, the Quest movement, where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I just want to thank you once again for tuning in to Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio presents student host Walter Pierce, which you've heard say good morning, and Justin Hill. And they're researching a review on history, definition, and music. Now, these segments are presented to you in the form of diamonds, definitions, and curtains. And without any further ado, I want to bring on our first student host, the graduating, about to be graduate, Mr. Walter Pierce. Good morning again.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. You see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into this diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, my diamond for this week is on Philip B. Downing. And you see, Philip B. Downing was born in Providence, Rhode Island on March 22nd, 1857. Downing came from a prominent background. His father, George T. Downing, was a well-known abolitionist and business owner, while his mother, Serena L. DeGrace, had a family roots in New York City, dating back to the mid-1600s. You see, on June 17, 1890, the U.S. Patent Office approved Downing's application for new and useful improvements in street railway switches. His invention allowed the switches to be opened or closed by using a brass arm located next to the brake handle on the platform of the car. It was also allowed the switches to be changed automatically in some cases. In a little over a year, in 1891, his two patents for a street letterbox also gained approval. Downing's design resembled the mailboxes that are now tall metal box with a secure hinged door to drop letters. Until this point, those wishing to send mail usually had to travel to the post office, but his invention instead allowed for the drop-off near one's home and easy pickup by a letter carrier. His idea for the hinge opening prevented rain or snow from entering the box and damaging the mail. More than 25 years later, in 1917, Downing received another patent, aka patent number 1243595, for an envelope moistener, which utilized a roller and a small attached water tank to quickly moisten envelopes. The following year saw another successful patent, U.S. patent number 1269584, for an easily accessible desktop notepad. And Philip Downing would pass away in Boston in June of 1934 at the age of 77. Now, just to summarize what I've just talked about, about Mr. Dowling. You see, he is somebody who invented a lot of key inventions that still are utilized in ways today, mainly the mailbox. You know, the mailbox has, of course, has its improvements. There's now new different types of mailboxes. But the mailbox he even created back then in the 1800s are still utilized today, those same type of mailboxes. So without his invention, you know, you never know what mailboxes could be or how mail would be today. So another African-American male in history, an unknown person to a lot, creating an invention that is still one of the most utilized inventions of our generation today. So him doing that, you know, creating moistures for envelopes so they could be sealed, there's still things like that used today. And, you know, the other inventions that he created, you know, the desktop notepad, you know, we now have different types of improvements and innovations towards that as well. So his inventions were like the base, the pioneering of more inventions to come later down the road. So we have to give shout out to Philip Downing for the great inventions he's created. And that's what I have for today's segment. You are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU. And this is student host, Walter K.
Let me hop.
Come down.
And that was the sounds of Anderson .Paak, which we opened up our show with. And right now we're going to come back to our student host, Walter Pierce, so that he can deliver us a next review and segment on definition. Take it away, brother.
Thank you. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is on injustice. And injustice is the lack of fairness. And when we talk about fairness today, a lot of people try to relate it to how we're trying to become an equal society. And the problem with saying that we are equal today is Europeans already had a lot of things that we didn't have to make them successful that held us back, though. So people trying to say that we're now equal because we all have the same fair opportunities, you know, there's still injustice. Even though we do, technically, we now have more and more, you know, fair opportunities as Europeans in this country, that's still keeping the separation between the two races, since Europeans already had more of a head start and had a lot of wealth and resources before we could get anything. So when we talk about fairness, we should relate to, you know, equity, being able for us to gain enough resources so we could be able to be eventually equal to Europeans. That would be a justice. That would be fairness. You know, it's, to be honest, it's easier said than done, though. You know, there's a lot of laws, there's a lot of debates, talk that just goes all into this. And, you know, that is a huge problem with our country. You know, we're so separated and divided by ideas and thoughts that it makes it hard for people to just come together and try to come up with a solution rather than just keep debating, and then we eventually go nowhere. Because when we talk about the different injustices in our country, you know, they relate a lot to minorities, whether dealing with jobs or police or things like that, we're not getting a fair share. And all it does is lead to debates, lead to fake promises by politicians, and then the cycle just continues, and then everybody will forget. You know, I've seen a video that just explains, like, the cycle. You know, every time something happens in our country, with either the shootings of children at school or mass shootings all over the country, you know, politicians would just send out a statement saying we send in thoughts and prayers, and, you know, they'll make promises that we have to better control guns, and then eventually they'll keep it in the media for a couple of days, and then eventually they hope everybody will forget, and the cycle just keeps continuing. But nothing's actually ever done. So, you know, that's a real huge injustice in our country. And, yeah, that's really what I wanted to add to the definition for today of injustice. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5. WSOU.
Okay, so instead of going straight to another song, I want to unpack some of this. First of all, Mr. Davis, had you heard of Mr. Downing and his invention of the mailbox?
Yes, I did. I heard about him before, but I love Walter's delivery. Walter's hot. Walter's the man. The way he put that together, it was poetic. Put style to it. I like that a lot.
Oh,
yeah, but I read about the Good Brother.
Yeah, and the inequalities of injustice in America. Walter also spoke to that. Can you elaborate?
Nope. Definitely. The question is, it's not always the answer. It's the question that's far more important than the answer. There's a difference between access and equity. And although we as a people and in this country have access, we never ascertain full equity. And the fact that we don't have full equity in this country, we would never be made whole and free until we have full access. That in and of itself is injustice. Not to have, I mean, because we all have inalienable rights, part of the constitutionality of the United States. And it talks about it the 27 times that the United States Constitution was ratified. But in that we only have access now and not complete equity, that is injustice in and of itself.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, no, thank you. Tanisha Gardner, the mailbox injustice, talk to us.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever known that. And it's so funny because I just told my daughters, and they was like, wow. So that means that's paramount. That's what I want to say. That the things that we have done as the African community and the power that we have and our ancestors have done is just astronomical. And it's just like, I guess that's why the Caucasians feel threatened, because they know who we are and of our power. And as a people, we need is, I don't know, it leaves you speechless, because it's like, what do you do and how do you protect each other? Because that's what, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. Because it's like, how can you do so many type of injustices to a particular person because you feel as though you consider them not as being a human being, you know? And then that's something to think about, because right now to this day, you know, they, you know, even though the atrocities that happened in Texas and they killed him, but the same atrocities that happened in Buffalo, New York, they didn't kill the white boy, but you want to call him a teenager. So you already see the injustices and the evil and the hatred that they still have on us. And it makes you think, and especially in the power that you would say if our elected officials have, and they're not doing their due diligence to protect us as a whole and make sure that we do have access and equity, especially in the city of Newark. And it's like, if you have the power to be able to create that change and you are not allowing it to happen, it's like you just being like the slave masters. So when do things change? It's when we elevate ourselves and have the power to persevere through the change and know that if you give your people what they need, because they say we perish because of the lack of knowledge. So if you're giving us the knowledge and the access to, you know, to be able to create the way that we want to see our reality, the people would definitely back you, and you wouldn't be afraid of the Caucasians who are in control. And that's what we have to remember, that we do have the power and we do have a right to live a beautiful life, and no other human being has a right to take that away from you. And you're supposed to stand up for yourself and also your community. And it's time for them to wake up and do what's right for the people.
Okay. Mr. Harris, I hope you're there. And I present a challenge to you to, you know, follow up after Mr. Davis and Tanisha. You know, they both did some slam dunks there. So I'm looking for you to step up and meet the challenge. Take it away, Mr. Harris.
Y'all, first let me say right on to both of y'all, because this is the kind of conversation that is needed within our community, even though we seem to be talking to the choir or preaching to the choir, you know, things that's going on. Now, granted, I knew that a brother, excuse me, that a brother was responsible for these boastful things. But whenever it came down to making work easier, seeing that we were kind of basically doing all the work to start with, you know, a lot of that innovation came up through our community. And, you know, and the fact that other people don't shine our accomplishments, we need to do it ourselves. And this is the best part about what we do here, is that we shine the light on different people that have done stuff that are and that are still doing stuff, you know, in the past and today. And we have to, like, keep this type of stuff up because I'm not going to lie. Sometimes the conversations we have here, I go through this same conversations with my students in school. I said, yo, did you ever hear a song, so and such and such? Did you know the song? And I'm a math teacher, so it ain't got nothing to do with what you teach. It's about who you're teaching to and what you're trying to teach them. But this has been a strong day so far.
Absolutely. A beautiful day, in fact. Right? And we're going to continue. Right. Musically, I'm going to hit us with a little something mellow, right, by Barbara Morrison out of California on the West Coast. Let's check it out.
I walk around heavy-hearted and sad. Night comes around and I'm still feeling bad. Rain pouring down, blinding every hope I had. This pitter pattern, beating and spattering, driving me mad. Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bad. Gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather. Just can't seem to get my poor self together. Keeps on raining all the time. All the time. Since he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he's gone to stay, that old rocking chair's gonna get me. Every night I pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. I can't go on. Everything I had is gone. Stormy weather. Since my man and I ain't together. Keeps on raining all the time. Keeps on raining, keeps on raining. Oh. My man and I together. Keeps on raining, keeps raining all the time, all the time. Keeps on raining, 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 all the time. Stormy weather, stormy weather.
And welcome back. This is Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And I just want to remind everyone who's listening that blues was created to express the pain and suffering of a people. Something of necessity, just to get the feeling out there and be able to express yourself. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to bring on our next student host, Mr. Real Deal, Justin Hill. Take it away. Good morning again, Justin.
Good morning, everybody. This is student host Justin Hill on WSOU. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you're bound to find yourself. And my definition segment, my diamond segment is on George Washington Carver. He was born in 1858 in Diamond Grove, Missouri. He died January 5th, 1943 in Tuskegee, Alabama. George Washington Carver started his life as a slave and worked his way to becoming a respected and world-renowned agriculture chemist. He helped develop agriculture techniques used around the world. In April 1896, Carver received a unique offer from the African-American educator Booker T. Washington to teach at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Carver accepted the challenge. He arrived at the tiny railroad station at Chiha, Alabama, on October 8, 1896. In a report to Washington, he wrote, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock a.m. Through the years, Carver gained a national as well as an international reputation. Chinese and Japanese farmers raised many unique problems for him. Questions were referred to him from Russia, India, Europe, and South America. He later had to turn down a request to journey to the Soviet Union, the country that once consisted of Russia and other smaller nations. A careful and modest scientist, Carver was not without a sense of humor. When one of his students happened to play a trick on him, showed him a bug with the wings of a fly and the body of a mosquito, Carver was quick to label it a humbug. Carver utilized the materials at hand. He was interested in crop rotation and soil conservation. From the clay soil of Alabama, he extracted a full range of dye stuffs, including a brilliant blue. He created 60 products from the pecan. From the common sweet potato, he developed a cereal, coffee, a shoe polish, paste, oils, and 100 products. From the peanut, he came up with over 145 products. Carver suggested peanuts, pecans, and sweet potatoes replace cotton, as money crops. He published all of his findings in a series of nearly 50 bulletins. And the reason why I chose George Washington Carver was because many people say that he's the person to create peanut butter and peanuts, but he actually used peanuts to make different crops. And that is it for my segment. Again, this is student host Justin Hill on WSLU.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Right now, we're going to return musically, and when we come back, Justin is going to hit us with his next segment of Definition.
If I kiss, if I held you tight in the morning light, yeah. Would you mind if I said how I felt in the lead tonight? My heart tonight, yeah, yeah.
and welcome back. We've spoken about invention, innovation, and revolutionizing the modern society that we all benefit today. But we receive and give love to all our listenership. And with that being said, I turn it back over to the real deal, Justin Hill. Take it away.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the host, Justin Hill, and my next segment, which is definitions, will be on the word perseverance. This segment provides the listener with words and the meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And perseverance is a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition, and is also the act or condition or an instant of persevering. And what that means is, like, so many people have perseverance, and like they try to achieve goals in their life, and they have to go through many difficulties, and they have to go through challenges, and they might fail, but all you have to do is just get back up to achieve that goal. And that is it for my definition segment. I thank you guys for listening to Student Host Justin Hill on WSOU.
Mr. Harris, I'm going to come straight to you this time. And George Washington Carver and perseverance. Take it away.
Yeah, well, George Washington Carver, he's always been one of my favorite scientists, you know, but because he was able to extract things that you wouldn't even consider from what seemed like just lowly vegetables and stuff. You know, he was, the fact that he came up with a lot of stuff for soybeans, you can use it for paints, you can use it for fuel. But one thing that I always got from George Washington Carver that people seem to forget, that he said soybeans are good for a lot of things, but don't eat them because they're not good for your body. You know, but it's just really, we can do this whole hour just talking about the inventions and stuff from George Washington Carver and how they affected society as a whole. And it's a good brother to look up to. And, you know, even though he had his own personal struggles that he had to go through because of his skin color, you know, there was still a lot of things that he gave to the world that can never be taken away.
Okay. Talk about overcoming obstacles and giving back to the community. Tanisha, any words, comments as it pertains to the definition of the word perseverance and George Washington Carver?
Yeah, Justin, I want to say thank you for that, especially perseverance, how you said just get up and, you know, keep it going. Yeah, and that's very important, you know, is not to give up, especially if you have an idea. Yes, sometimes we do come in roadblocks in our lives, but we just have to keep pushing on. So I definitely thank you for that word. It's definitely very inspirational, and it's definitely something that will keep me motivated and going out throughout the day in my life. And George Washington Carver, that was very deep for him to be able to persevere through what he went through, especially, you know, not having his mother and being raised, you know, by white slave owners, and it was speculated that he was castrated. And for someone to have that much hatred to do that to someone, that it cut off his lineage, for him to even be able to spread his seeds through DNA to be able to father generations to come. But thank God we know of his great perseverance. And it makes us look at our lives, and especially in our community, especially, you know, for the black men, if only really did study their history and known how the black men at that time did persevere And there's no reason why they cannot do the same thing and become bigger and better, especially as they quote-unquote call it the hood. So it's like, how do we take what they went through and see it now and for them to persevere and make it better for generations to come?
Okay. And now we go to Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, chop it up for us.
Sure, no problem. His impact of his selflessness went beyond him and went beyond future generations. His impact still is actually impacting the world throughout the day. To have three American presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, Calvin Coolidge, and Franklin Roosevelt, meet with him, the crown prince of Sweden, to come over to the United States of America and spend at least 3 weeks understanding his methodology, to actually meet with Henry Ford during the Depression at a conference in Michigan, Detroit, was of great note. His selflessness went beyond to have gone through the level of abuse that he had gone through and still persevered and made sure that he engaged in cultural continuity, not just for the United States of America, but his impact throughout the world speaks volumes. I appreciate his work that he's done. I appreciate his impact today, and I will still continue to study and have others look at Dr. Washington for his tremendous impact.
Right. And just to talk about Henry Ford, the modernization of factories got its name. They called them plants. And Henry Ford, through just meeting with George Washington Carver, basically called his factory a plant because of the meeting with George Washington Carver. And a lot of people don't realize that, but we highlight that today. As we continue, right, we have one more song before we go to our musical segment of Curtains, and we'll come back with our graduating student host, Walter Pierce.
Spending so much time with you always on my mind. My brother, I just can't explain. The energy is off the chain between us.
energy going, right, it's time for our segment of Curtain. You see, many recording artists have grown rich from the community, but this is the particular segment where we talk about how that musical artist and today his impact on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience has actually helped his community, our community, right, in the world today. I hand it back over to Walter Pierce.
Thank you. And for my final segment of today, again, it is Curtains, and it's on Anderson .Paak. Now, back in December, Anderson .Paak hosts his annual .Paak House charity concert back in his hometown of Oxnard, California. Like the past years, the event gives food, activities, gifts, and community outreach and resources to the family attendees. It also features a lineup of his friends who come out and perform unexpectedly throughout the day. Now, the past talent he had in the event included people like Seth Rogen, Ty Dolla $ign, Jenna, Emily King, people of that nature. And, you know, he says it's great because it's the only thing that really matters at the end, giving back and being with the community. He says every time we play the show and I see the people out there, there's just no greater feeling. When I hit the performers, no one's getting paid. And it's not through agents. It's just me hitting people direct and saying, yo, you down to give two or three songs of your time? It's big that to provide their time for people who might never get to see them play. You know, and, you know, he also says that there are people who have come through with their kids all 4 years, and he says he loves seeing the kids' face light up when they see their favorite performers performing out there. Now, that really concludes what I have for that part. And to add on a little bit of what I really talk about each week with, you know, artists being able to give back to the community. You know, it's great that the artist has the ability to perform in front of, you know, thousands of people and be a great performer. But what are you going to do with that greatness? Are you going to help give it back to the community and show it to, you know, the people that grew up where you grew up, whether it's tough times, knowing they probably will never have the chance to see their favorite artist in person, you know, being able to give them that opportunity for free is an amazing thing. And it's just another example of an artist helping out the community, giving back, giving their time to, you know, to see the youth smile, really. And really taking the money and donating it back into the community, into charities to help out people in need. That's great. I love it. I thank you for listening to my current segment. And now, let's hear some Anderson .Paak.
Please. reflections on what makes us feel good now. I just want to make you feel good now.
Okay, we want to bring on Val. Good morning, Val. Congratulations to you as well, right? A few weeks ago, you had a graduation ceremony. But let us know what you thought about today's podcast.
Good morning, Quest Youth Radio. Wonderful program. Further information about George Washington Carver. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you. The music just popped on there. Let's get the Black Librarian. Mr. Davis, what you think about today's show?
Fantastic show. Very impressed with Walter. Congratulations, Walter.
Walter, congratulations. Where are you graduating from? Yes. Where's your location? Where are you going to be graduating from? The school?
St. Benedict's Prep.
Okay. Mr. Harris, input, last moment.
Yeah, again, congratulations to Walter for overcoming the easiest part of his life. And everything else is as usual. It's a lovely day, and it's always going to get better.
Tanisha, last words. What do you think about today's show?
This was an excellent show. Really great information. Definitely want to learn more. And congratulations, Walter. It's so funny because I also do a community cleanup with the Brick City Road Team. So go St. Benedict.
Okay. And Justin, what you think about today's show?
I thought today's show was good.
Okay. And Walter, you can close this out.
I thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. I thank everybody for the congratulations. And Quest Youth Radio is the best.
Everyone, the best
radio.
The best
radio.
Youth radio.
Radio.
The best.
Yeah, thank you.
I've been feeling kinda cooped up, cooped up. I'm trying to get some fresh air. Hey, well, you got the roof out, roof out. You know it never rains here.